Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
We left it off with Nick Foles, and we're going to give you a chance to weigh in as well. But Nick Foles does it again.
Well, we saw him last year outplay Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. And, yes, he did outplay Tom Brady, made all the throws. We've seen the Nick Foles' magic.
But well, who he's really been outplaying, though?
Who's that?
Carson Wentz.
No.
He hasn't been outplaying Carson Wentz.
No, Carson Wentz isn't playing. How's he outplaying? He's not playing. He's hurt.
What was their record with Carson Wentz? Rob G, was it 5-7?
He forgets last year when Carson Wentz was going to win the MVP. Nobody
last
mentioned
year
Nick.
Is past, baby.
No, it ain't.
Last year has nothing to do with this. He didn't win the Super Bowl last year. If he had done that, then I'd give him some credence. But don't give me this regular season mess.
The Eagles don't have – he's not forcing the Eagles' hand.
They're better with Nick Foles. With Nick Foles?
Carson Wentz will be the quarterback next year.
Oh, yeah, of course he will.
He will be.
Although if they win a Super Bowl –
they're not winning a Super Bowl, stop it.
If they get to the Super Bowl
– next week.
Here's what I say. They've got to keep Nick Foles. I know – he would make $20 million, a team option for $20 million. You know what, Philadelphia? Pick up the option because the history tells us that Carson Wentz may get hurt, very likely will get hurt. These last two NFL seasons, hurt. August 2016, hurt. October 2015, hurt. Missed his last eight weeks at North Dakota State. You need a good backup, and you got a heck of a backup.
I just brought up, like he said, it was old news. That was last year. He talking about college.
Because there's a trend.
No, but that's old news.
He gets hurt every year.
It's old news. Did you just say it's old news?
You can't see the difference.
No, I know.
I'm bringing up a trend.
No, you're not.
Let me explain. It's not a trend for him to get hurt?
Iowa Sam, I want you to know, you're not on this show all the time, but Chris is the king of being the prisoner of the moment.
Whatever happened yesterday. Mr. James Harden is better than Michael Jordan?
I didn't say that.
Mr. James Harden is better than LeBron James and Kevin Durant?
LeBron James' team lost to the Knicks the other day.
With LeBron watching alongside and Rob Pelinka.
He was passing out water and wine. He was there.
Oh, me?
Water and wine.
Turning water into wine.
But look, I'm bringing up a trend, Rob. A trend is that Carson Wentz gets hurt. He's been hurt each of the last 4 years. A trend was not that he almost won MVP last year. First of all, he didn't win MVP.
Secondly, he followed
my trend. He got hurt.
He lost by default.
So all if right. I'm the Eagles, I can pay Nick Foles $20 million.
All right, so if he has a bad
Carson
game.
Carson Wentz is making $6.6 million.
If he has a bad
million.
Game and loses to the Saints, you're going to make that same argument? Because you got to make it whether he wins or loses so great. You telling me
I'm
that
not saying he's Johnny Unitas. I'm just saying for some reason
but you say
they
that
are a better team with him so it shouldn't on the
matter.
Field.
It shouldn't matter whether they win or lose next week. That's my point. Your point is only based on them winning.
It's all based on winning.
But you're telling me that they play better with him, it doesn't matter.
Do they not?
But it doesn't matter then. What does next week matter if you're telling me that in your eyes that they
in
play
Philadelphia? In everybody's eyes.
I'm asking you, Chris. Hear me out. If they play better, and that's what your statement is, losing next week to the Saints shouldn't matter.
All right, then keep him, period.
Okay, then that's a different story then. That's a different story, okay?
They need to keep him.
That's different.
Because your starter may not get the team moving the way he does, and secondly, your starter's injury prone.
But you get my point.
No, I don't get your point.
Yes, you do.
You're going to sit here and tell me that the Philadelphia Eagles are not better with Nick Foles at quarterback.
No, they're not better. Did they win a Super Bowl last year? Yes. Was Nick Foles unbelievable in two of the three games? Don't forget, one game against Atlanta, he wasn't great in that game. They barely won that game. But he was great against Minnesota, and he was great in the Super Bowl. No doubt about it. Super Bowl MVP.
How was he on Sunday?
And he played well. They won the game. I'm not taking anything away from him. okay? But all I'm saying is no way, no how am I picking Nick Foles over Wince in a lifetime.
That nickname is getting very tired.
It ain't Wince in a lifetime.
Nobody in Philadelphia is running around saying that anymore.
Winsylvania. I'm telling you.
That too, that's gone. It's all about Mr. Foles in Philadelphia. You know this. And that's why it's going to be hard on Carson Wentz to follow it up. What's he going to do? What if Foles leads him to the Super Bowl?
It's so funny because...
And don't tell me, oh, he's not. You don't know that.
You don't know that they are.
I know, but they got a shot.
And here's the other part. This is the greatest part. Is Ron Jaworski, of course, played in Philadelphia and reports down there for the Fanatic radio station down there.
I can't wait to see what Jaws
says. And Jaws will pick Carson Wentz every day. Come on, man. We've seen this act before.
No, but look, Carson Wentz is a better quarterback.
He's Fitzpatrick without the beard.
He's not Fitzpatrick. He's not Fitzpatrick.
Every time you turn the car over to him, the keys to the car, he crashes it.
He's 21-6.
No, he's good.
Let me finish this. He is 21-6 as a – actually now, this regular season. I'm not even counting playoffs. If we go playoffs, what is he, 4-0 in the playoffs?
This is –
So now I am going to count playoffs.
Are you sure before you?
He is 25-6, Rob G. Check this.
Those are the only four games he's playing in the playoffs?
Listen to me. 25-6 as Philadelphia's starting quarterback since 2013.
So why doesn't he have a job in the NFL as a starter if he's this magical quarterback?
He could have.
Nobody else has recognized him or seen him and thought he should be a starter. You know how many bad quarterbacks there are around?
Teams wanted him after the Super Bowl. He didn't want to be traded. And Philadelphia didn't want to trade him.
I'm not talking about just after winning a Super
Bowl.
And smart
move by them.
I'm not talking about that, but I mean in general.
One thing, Jeff Fisher got to him. And he had a bad season with Jeff Fisher, but who doesn't? Not since Steve McNair has anybody had a good season under Jeff Fisher.
He went to the Super Bowl, didn't he?
Yeah, with Steve McNair. But Jared Goff was a bust under Steve Fisher, under Jeff Fisher. So I'm not going to blame that season solely on Nick Foles. I'm going to look at the fact that he was 8-2 in Philly, 6-2 in Philly, and since then, overall, 21-6 in the regular season as a starter. He's 10-2 since your boy, Winsylvania, has been hurt.
Once in a lifetime.
All the times he gets hurt, Foles steps in and goes 10-2. I mean, how you going to tell me they're not better with Foles at quarterback? Alshon Jeffrey is in heaven. And Zach Ertz, who had a great connection with Wentz, has a similar great connection with Foles. The defense is inspired.
If you're asking me to make a pick,
just
it's
because
very
of
simple.
Age,
it
that's
ain't
it.
About, it ain't about
it
age.
Is. That's it.
Carson Wentz is the next best thing. He's like Rocky Road
really?
Ice cream with crushed Oreos on top.
The next best
that's
thing
how
compared
good he
to
is.
Who?
I'm just telling you.
He's certainly not. Pat Mahomes is the next. He's the current and the next best.
Nah, he's got 1 year under his belt. We've seen that story before.
How many is Wentz got?
I would take Carson Wentz.
Over Patrick Mahomes?
Absolutely.
Eli.
Ridiculous.
Check what's in that.
Check
what's in that polo logo cup.
Elijah, keep Elijah out of it.
Rob G, can you come and check this cup? Because there must be some funny stuff up in there.
He got the drink in there.
What? You got some scissor, some something. You would take Carson Wentz over Patrick Mahomes? Are you?
I want winners.
The ribs.
Patrick Mahomes has had 1 year. I need to see
more. How many
more.
Has Wentz had?
What are you talking about? He was going to be the MVP. Wentz is
Patrick
played,
Mahomes
Wentz
is
has
going
2 years.
Patrick
he was 2 years, and this year was his third.
Patrick Mahomes is going to be the MVP. Of all the zany arguments you
what?
Made, this may be the worst, Rob. I'm letting you know.
What?
I'm trying to reel you in. I don't want you to get destroyed on social media when the callers start calling. I'm serious, man. I'm trying to reel you in.
Hey.
I'm throwing you a lifeline.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Both Rob and I are definitely excited to bring in our next guest. He was a former colleague of ours.
That's right.
Over at the other network. We had a great time with him over there. And we're going to have a great time with him over the next 10 minutes. None other than former Pro Bowl quarterback. Now he works for 97.5, the Fanatic in Philly. Ron Jaworski. Jaws, how you doing, man?
How you doing?
Hey, guys, it is so great to be with you once again. I wish we could do this more often, just to get on the phone and talk ball, man, because that's what we're going to do. And by the way, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Ron, no doubt.
Hey, look, you're the perfect man for this. We keep asking people. Nobody seems to have an explanation. Nick Foles, the mojo that he has in Philadelphia, how do you explain it?
First of all, he is a very talented quarterback. And, you know, when you look at the quarterback position, there are so many things that it entails. And, you know, if you just look at one part of the position, you'll never get it right. So when you evaluate the quarterback position, you have to evaluate not only the physical talent, but the mental talent and the leadership skill. And that's where, you know, Nick Foles really excels, as well as being in the right system. And you guys have known me a long time, and I'm a strong proponent for quarterbacks being set up for success by a quarterback coach, an offensive coordinator, and a coach as a head coach that understands the position. Too many guys that fail as head coaches in the NFL don't understand that position, and that's the reason they don't make it. So Nick Foles is a guy, when someone looks at him, they know he has all the attributes you need to play the position.
Next year, I mean, Chris is jumping the gun. He has the Eagles winning the Super Bowl again.
No, no.
Well, he's a smart man.
But I mean, Carson Wentz is the future of this team. I know he's been hurt. There have been other quarterbacks who've had the injury bug and then shook it and kind of moved on. All Chris has to do is look at Matthew Stafford, who started his career with a lot of injuries but has been healthy for years to go. What would you pick, Jaws, all thing, if say they don't win a Super Bowl, okay? Who would be your quarterback?
How about asking it this way? Are there any circumstances, Jaws, in which next year you bring back Nick Foles and maybe look to trade Carson Wentz?
Well, I think anything is a possibility, as we've learned through the NFL. And Carson Wentz, by the way, was playing really, really good football. You know, that 4-6 record after that New Orleans game back in November was really not attributable to his play. I mean, he was playing pretty darn good. And actually, numbers-wise, you could say he was playing better than a year ago when he was in the consideration for league MVP. But the record wasn't as good, and the defense wasn't as good.
Right.
And right now, Nick is benefiting by the defense playing a lot better, the secondary playing a lot better. And my goodness, when you think of guys like Cravion LeBlanc and Trey Sullivan, these guys that weren't even on the roster at the beginning of the year, to step in as starters and give them good snaps is just remarkable. So the defense has come around. It certainly helped Nick, but I just don't see any scenario where both these guys are on the team next year. The salary cap just doesn't allow that to happen.
But you think it's up in the air depending on what happens these next few weeks?
Jaws,
I
don't think it is up in the air. I think the Eagles clearly have made a decision that Carson Wentz is going to be their quarterback for the next decade. Nick is certainly, everyone in the city of Philadelphia loves Nick Foles. He will never have to buy a beer or dinner in Philadelphia.
And he shouldn't.
Ever.
And right.
He should. And if I'm around, he never will. I guarantee you that. You look at the physical talent of Carson Wentz. Certainly, it's absolutely tremendous. He's not as far along mentally as I would say Nick Foles is, but he's going to get there.
All right, Jaws, I'm Nick Foles was, 4-7 as a starter in St. Louis. Do you look at that and say, you know what? He's a nice guy that comes in as a backup, and when there are no expectations, he'll get it done. But are you hesitant at all if you're another team to, you know, sign him this summer as a free agent and give the keys to the car to him?
I have absolutely zero thought of Nick Foles failing anywhere he goes. And again, what I just spoke about a few moments ago, you need to be with a head coach, an offensive coordinator, and a quarterback coach that understands that position. He was in the abyss in St. Louis. I mean, he lost his confidence. It was a bad system. He was poorly coached. His game fell apart. And oh, by the way, so we should do a show sometime on guys that I feel, if they were better coached, would have had better careers in the NFL. But that's me talking.
No, I hear you, though. I'm with you on that one.
Hey, the street is littered with guys that came to the NFL with great talent, and because they weren't coached properly, and you know they didn't have the supporting cast, and that includes coaches. That's just as important as anything. And you have to be demanding at the quarterback position. And too many coaches come in this league, and they treat the quarterback like some prima donna. It is the one position you must coach the hardest, because it's the most important position. If you slack off, so will the quarterback. So you must coach that position hard.
All right, it's the Odd Couple. We are joined by former Pro Bowl quarterback Ron Jaworski. You were talking earlier about Foles and the leadership and all the intangibles he brings. Another guy I think is like that. Now, I don't think he's the best quarterback technically, arm and accuracy and all that stuff, but I think Dak Prescott has all the intangibles that you want from a quarterback. I think he's a winner. I think he's a leader. Am I going overboard? What do you think about him down in Dallas?
No, I agree totally with you. I'm a big Dak Prescott fan. And you know, we're always too quick to judge, and you got to look at these things over a period of time. And we were mesmerized by his rookie year where everything was just, you know, went right for him until the loss of the Packers in the playoff game. The next year, a bunch of injuries, and all of a sudden, you know, Dak was as good, the offense was as good, the receivers weren't as good, so the quarterback is going to get too much credit like he did his rookie year, too much blame like he got in his second year, and this year it's kind of coming together. I don't think they're there yet, and I don't think Dak is there yet. The one area, as I look at it, and you know what a football wonk I am when it comes to tape study, guys, and I watch Dak, and what he has to do is improve his anticipation. I mean, he's good enough accurately. When he makes a decision to pull the trigger, he can deliver the football, but his timing just isn't there. He's what I kind of call wait till the receiver gets open. Where in the NFL, you got to throw the ball before he gets open, and that will come with more time in his career. So I think Dak's got all the physical attributes, and what I love most about the guy, I'm going to get away from the physical talents. He competes, man, and that's what I love about it. He wants to rip your heart out, man. He competes. I love to see that at the quarterback position.
Hey, Jaws, being a former athlete, I'd be interested to hear what you think about this. And over the weekend, of course, there were some tough losses, and fans booed. You know, they were booing Lamar Jackson when he was struggling down in Baltimore. You know, he had a nice comeback at the end of the game, but they still lost. You know, people were in Chicago were upset with the missed field goal, the tip field goal. And, you know, they booed and they were hot and heavy. Do fans, I wrote a column today about fans should have the right to boo as long as it's not vile or violent or racist or anything like that. Do you have an issue with fans booing when things don't go right for their team, or have we gone past that now?
You're talking to a guy that played 10 years
in
Philadelphia.
I know that's Book Central.
I started off a game against the Colts. Oh, I think it was like back in 1980 or 81. I hit my first 9 passes, right? Man, I'm off to a great start. I missed Keith Krepley, our tight end, on a little seam route, and they started booing. I said, damn, you know, I'm 9 for 9. I missed one, and they're booing. But you know what? The game is great. Fans are really the catalyst for the sport and the growth of the sport. They are so passionate, not only here in Philadelphia and Chicago and Baltimore. I mean, if it wasn't for the passion of the fans, this game wouldn't be the great game it is. So, you know, if you're an athlete and it's your job to perform and you don't perform, get used to it.
Yes!
You're going to get it. So, I don't have sympathy for it. I really don't, guys. I'm sorry. Hey, you know, hey, I'm compassionate about the guys, but hey, there's you know, you know the old saying, if you look for looking for sympathy, there's a place for it in the dictionary, but between blah, 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 blah.
right. Well, Jaws, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. And you, at the Super Bowl, you're going to be down in Atlanta, the Ditka Jaws Cigars with Mike Ditka Super Bowl party coming up on January 31st, right?
Hey, guys, I appreciate that plug. You know, Coach Ditka and I have been doing this fundraising cigar party for 10 years. We've sold it out.
How's Ditka doing, matter of fact? Is he okay?
Yeah, you know, I spoke to him the other day. He's doing terrific.
Okay,
you know,
great.
He had a heart problem. He had to have a stent put in and a pacemaker, but the coach is doing great. You know, he's a warrior. We all know that. And, you know, him and I hook up for this event. We raise money for at-risk youth in our community and the Gridiron Greats, former NFL player. So it's a heck of a night. It's Thursday night down in Atlanta, the Thursday before the Super Bowl. So go to DitkaJawsCigars.com if you'd like to join us for what we consider the best party of the Super Bowl.
Well, well Chris, when we come by, we'll be down there. Guys won't kick us out, right? You'll let us in?
You guys are VIP. I know
all right,
you guys.
All right. All right. We're all coming. Right. All right, Josh.
We'll see
thanks.
You down there, Josh.
Hey,
thanks.
let's do it again, gentlemen.
Yes, definitely.
Appreciate
all right, thank you.
Thank you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
I think Anthony Lynn should be coach of the year. There have been some good jobs. Matt Nagy did a good job.
In Chicago,
yeah. Several other guys. But, I mean, how can Anthony Lynn has turned that entire program around? Now, I guess the only knock, and this really isn't a knock, but he began that last year. They won 9 straight games last year.
Just missed the playoffs in the last game of the year.
People aren't looking at it as much of as big of a turnaround as it really is, because the year before he got there, they were winning 4 and 5 games the last few years before that.
And remember, he started his tenure 0-4, and look what he's done since then.
Oh, my gosh. Since then, the dude, and the adjustments he made. Now, the interesting thing with Baltimore is this was the first team they played that got to see them twice with Lamar Jackson under center. And they clearly made adjustments.
Oh, yeah.
They played 7 defensive backs, which is smart, and they still got a pass rush. That was the thing. But they played 7 defensive backs to put athletes on the field so that Jackson wouldn't be able to run wild.
To just run wild against them, absolutely.
And they shut him down. They actually kind of shut him down the first game, too. But the big controversy was a lot of people thought that they should go to Joe Flacco in the second half.
And you did too, didn't you?
I do. I think they were down 12-3 at half.
And then it was 23-3.
I said at halftime that I would give Lamar Jackson 2 possessions to see if he could get it going. And here's my thing. A lot of people that are saying, oh, you should have stuck with Jackson. You did the right thing. It shouldn't even consider Flacco. He's your guy of the future, so on and so forth. They were saying, you know, Tom Brady's had a bad half. Joe Flacco certainly has had bad halves, if not entire bad playoff games. You can't judge a guy off one half. That really had nothing to do with why I was saying they should go with Flacco. I was saying go with Flacco because the game was getting out of hand. And the only way you could – it got to a point, especially at 23-3, where you were going to have to throw the ball to get back in it.
You couldn't run it because you were running out of time.
Yeah,
I got
even Jackson at his best, unless he just breaks a long run, it was going to be slow moving down the field when you're running the ball, whether he's running it, whether, you know, the running back's running it, whoever. And so that was my reasoning. Obviously, Flacco at this point is a much better passer. So I would have just said, go with Flacco because we got to throw it. I mean, that's the only way we're going to score fast enough to give ourselves a chance to win.
Totally understand that. But my only point was, I'm not going away. The future is Lamar Jackson, and I get it. I understand why fans react that way. They, no matter how poorly Joe Flacco might have played, Chris, they never get out of their heads. That guy won them a Super Bowl.
Right.
Threw 11 touchdowns and no picks.
And he's not ancient.
During
you know?
That run. Do you
right.
know what I mean?
Yep.
So I get that part. It ain't for fans to react that way. That's what fans do. I get it. They're losing. Put the other guy in and won us a Super Bowl, right? I mean, that's common sense.
And he's only 33 years old.
Yeah, it's not like he's 43.
Right,
but I wouldn't have done it. I think what they did was the right thing. And Lamar played better later on in the game, and he had to throw.
You
and he
know
threw.
It was prevent,
right?
There
even
was a
though
lot of prevent. They loosened up the defense.
There was no
gave
doubt
a lot of stuff underneath.
They you know, which allowed him to do that. But this is my only thing. I think John Harbaugh and them just realized the future is this kid. If we help him and leave him in there and let him get more experience, it's only going to help us next year, and as we go forward, and if we really believe in this kid. And I think that was the reason behind it. You let them play through it. And, yes, there have been other guys who have struggled in the playoffs and had a bad day at the office, and I get all that. But going back when Flacco hadn't played in, 7 weeks or whatever it was, you're asking for
it. It was grasping for straws.
It was.
I really thought that was your only legitimate chance. And I did think, okay, if you put Flacco in – whether he brings them back or not, now you really got a controversy. But I think it was worth – look, there's no rule, there's no law that says Let's say Flacco goes in and they still lose. And then, or even if they win. I mean, they weren't. I don't think they were going to win the Super Bowl.
Because even with,
yeah, but let's say, you know, let's say Flacco goes in, they lose. There's no law that says, okay, we still, everything is continues as we said. Lamar is still our guy of the future. We're still going to trade or cut Joe Flacco. You know what I mean?
No, like, I understand.
There was nothing, because that's what I thought initially. I was like, man, that's going to mess up Jackson and their plan or whatever. But then I thought, no, you know what? You made a move. You changed, you know, you made a substitution. That's all there is to it.
But
there's no reason you couldn't have brought Lamar back for the next year.
I understand that, but don't you think now, if you're Lamar, you go, that's pretty awesome that, you know, that they didn't pull me and they know I'm their quarterback of the future. And it's a confidence builder. Even though they lost.
And he did come back, even if though the defense loosened up, he can say, hey, I made some throws. This is my thing, though, and they got to let Flacco go. It just doesn't make sense.
Oh, yeah,
no.
I think he still
can play somewhere.
And I think that's why. And again, we've mentioned this many times. How many guys who won quarterbacks for organizations finished somewhere else?
Oh, yeah.
The list is long.
No question. But here's my thing. We're talking about Jackson as the future. I don't know. I've always thought that's not a sustainable offense because he will get hurt.
He has to get better. And now
even strategically, right?
Like, no, I agree with that.
He didn't get hurt against the Chargers, but they just shut him down.
No.
He's got to – have you seen enough for you to know that he can make the necessary adjustment and become a much better passer?
No, I haven't seen it yet. But they watch him in practice. They got to have a feel for him. And I know he had a lot of success in college, which doesn't always transfer over. We've seen that, right, many times. So I think he has to improve. And all they should be working on him is with the passing.
No question.
And the accuracy. And you got to work on it. I don't know, and I've always said this, I'm not sure you could teach accuracy. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no,
I don't know if you can teach.
I mean, you could probably I'm sure you can improve to a degree.
It's like hitting, Chris. When you're baseball, I can't teach you how to hit, but I could teach you how to have better at bats.
Right.
So you're not
right.
getting yourself out. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can't teach you to hit.
Yeah. Well, and to us, it's like writing.
Yes.
Everybody can be taught how to write grammatically correct. Everybody can be taught how to write grammatically correct, right? But everybody can't write a captivating story. They don't have the creativity or the imagination or whatever to write stuff that's really compelling.
And
even though they can write technically correct.
And put in a unfamiliar setting outside, in a press box, in the cold, and you got to produce. You open up that blank screen. Everybody can, and you got a deadline in the day when we were coming up. Am I right?
The deadline.
Yeah, you got 40 minutes,
right.
Chris.
You got 40
minutes. You got 40
minutes
to write this game story.
900-word game story on the Knicks and the Bulls or whatever.
Right. 900-word, 40 minutes.
Yep.
Not 45, not an hour. You got 40 minutes.
Do you miss that? There was a – I always got a rush, a charge.
You know that when you sent it in, great it was?
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah. Especially early in your early days when you saw your byline.
Yes. My first byline at the Daily News, you know what we did? You remember they used to have the old Bulldog edition that came out at like 9 o'clock at night? I waited around until the Bulldog came out for my first line.
I believe it.
Because I wanted to see my name in the Daily News.
Yep. It was a big deal.